So good to be with you guys. Love my church family. Excited for what God has in store for us today. You know, I've had a lot of jobs throughout my life. My very first job, I was a paper boy. I don't even know if that's a job anymore, like if that's even a thing that happens anymore in the digital age that we're living in. But I would get up at 5:30 in the morning before school, and I would go out, no matter what the weather was like, rain, snow, cold, whatever, and deliver newspapers every morning before school. My second job was as a dishwasher, and it was the type of dishwashing job where it wasn't like you load the dishwasher. No, I was the dishwasher. I mean, everything from silverware to cups, plates, you know, pots with macaroni and cheese burned on them. I mean, it was a tough job. It was a challenging job. And even as a pastor, you know, this has been my job for the last 17, 18 years, and I love every bit of it. But it's still a hard job. It's a challenging job. But I will say this, of all the jobs that I have ever had, there is no job that has been more challenging and more difficult than being a parent. It's the hardest job I have ever had. And it's very fulfilling, incredibly rewarding. But it brings with it some challenges that I never expected. I never dreamed it would bring. And so, you know, maybe you've been on a long car ride with children before, and you can attest to this, right? Like, there are just some things, some challenges that come with being a parent that it's just like, some days I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to handle this, right? In fact, actually, I actually have some footage of the last car ride that Autumn and I took with the boys. Check this out.
You're it.
Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's. No Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot. Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch blue, make it true.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lord. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lord. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I wish I could say I wasn't that guy, but I think I've been there at least 20 times in my life, just losing my mind, right? Parenting is hard. And I think here's what's crazy to me about parenting. I think it's the only job in the world where you go into it with zero experience, like nothing, nada, zilch, no experience, and yet you are expected, like the expectation is kind of, you're gonna be an expert at this from day one. And you're just not. You're just not. Like I feel like I mess up as a parent so often, so many times. And so I think what happens for a lot of people is that being a parent can cause a lot of stress, it can cause a lot of anxiousness, it can cause a lot of worry. Whether you're that parent who's just like, and this is how I am, I just worry about like, am I messing these kids up? Like, are the things that I'm doing, the way that I'm parenting, like, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Right? And there's a lot of questions around that. And so I think there can be some anxiousness and worry around that if you're that type of parent. But then I also think, sadly, there's a lot of parents who just aren't thinking about it at all. They're not really concerned about what's going on with their kids and how they're parenting them and what they might turn out to be like someday. And I think no matter where you're at, whether you're a parent who's just completely out of touch and not paying any attention, or whether you're one that's just like kind of overthinking it, I think most of us are in one of those two categories. It brings no peace to your life, living in either of those ways. There's absolutely no peace. And so what do? As parents, most of us, we start clamoring for answers. Like, how do I do this thing, right? And so we, like many people in our world, will naturally gravitate to, you know, doing a Google search, looking at, you know, scholarly articles. We're watching, you know, documentaries on things. We're reading books. We're going to conferences. Like, we're trying all of these things to try to help us in this area, maybe seeking out some friends like who have kids, or people a little bit older than us whose kids have grown up and they're out of the house now. But as I look around our world, this is what I see. I just call it how I see it. I don't see a lot of parents who are going to the one true source of where all wisdom comes from in every aspect of life, let alone parenting. And that is the Word of God. And what is so amazing about God's Word is that He provides us with everything that we need in every aspect of life to do it well. Doesn't mean things are always gonna turn out exactly as we had hoped, right? Because people are people, even children. They have to grow up and one day make their own decisions. But we can absolutely put our kids and ourselves in a position where we've done everything possible, the best job that we possibly can, to raise them to the point where they one day leave the house and they become productive, healthy citizens of society. And at the very least, as Christians, give them the most important thing that we could ever give them. And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or at least point them to that, right? And so today, we're in a series we just call them Peace in the New Year. And we talked about several different topics over the last few weeks. Marriage and finances and just even what the foundation of peace is and where that comes from. But today we're going to talk about parenting for a few minutes. And I know that there's some people in the room right now who maybe you don't have children. Maybe there's some folks in the room right now who your kids are older and they're out of the house and they're no longer living with you. But I promise you this. What we're going to talk about today is vitally important for every person in this room to hear. Someday you might be a parent. Maybe even unexpectedly. Someday, you may have the opportunity to encourage someone who is a parent or mentor some children. I believe all of the things we're going to talk about today are important. And as the church, this is what we believe at True North. It takes a village. Moms and dads need help. We can't do this alone. If we're the only ones who are instructing and training and encouraging our children, we have a problem. We need the church. It's one of the beautiful, beautiful gifts about the church is that there is this incredible support system. And so no matter where you're at today on the spectrum, I encourage you, don't check out on me. Pay attention, take some notes, and be ready because I know God has something to teach each of us if we will be ready to listen and to hear the Word of God this morning. And so I want to start with a question today. And it goes very simply like this. Why is parenting so hard? Why is it so stinking hard? Right? It should be relatively easy, shouldn't it? And I think that's most people when we go into parenting, those of us that are parents, we all have these like preconceived notions about how it's going to go. I watched them do it this way and I'm not going to do it that way. And we go into it thinking we're going to have the answers, and then inevitably, we very, very quickly realize it's much, much more difficult than we anticipated. Well, I think there's a couple of reasons for that, and this is the place we need to start today. In order to understand what to do about it, we have to understand why it's so hard. And so first and foremost, number one is that we as a culture, right, are watching our children get bombarded every day by lies. Things being put inside of their hearts and their heads that are not true, that are contrary to the Word of God. And it's an uphill battle against culture. We're fighting that every single day, right? The media, schools, the government, right? Just bombarding with lies. And they're telling them things. They're telling them things about their identity. They're telling them things about their purpose. They're trying to teach them things, again, that are contrary to the Word of God. And as parents, we're only one or two people, right? And yet they've got hundreds and hundreds of other voices and people. And I mean, it's amazing to me when I watch some television shows with my children that are supposed to be for kids, and I'm watching and I'm going, there's an agenda here. There's a message being taught here that I'm not okay with, right? And we have to be ready for that. We have to be ready to engage in conversation with our children about what the culture is trying to teach them. And if we don't understand that, if we don't know that, our kids are at a disadvantage because they are going to, we are human beings. the things that get put into our minds and our hearts, if they're not dealt with, if we're not talked about, they will have consequences. And I think maybe the most important thing that I can tell you today, and I think many of us know this, but we just kind of block it out and stop paying attention to it. We have an enemy, and he wants to destroy your family, your children. He does not want your kids to know Jesus Christ. He does not want your kids to thrive in any way. And so he is going to do everything that he can to break up families, to drive wedges between husbands and wives, to cause parents to parent in a way that is not honoring to God, that hurts those children. Right? He's going to do everything he can to make that happen. And so we need to be aware of that, right? Our children are being rushed into temptations that they are not ready for. It is wreaking havoc. They're being desensitized to evil every single day. We got to be ready to combat that. So that's number one. But number two, why is it so hard? Because children are messed up from the get-go. They're little sinners. And how do we know this? Because we were too, right? We recognize this. And sometimes I worry, I really do. I worry a lot. Am I gonna mess these kids up? But the fact of the matter is, they're already messed up. They already have a sin nature. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, humanity was cursed. We all carry that curse with us. We come out of the womb, little sinners. Listen to what Psalm 58:3 says. Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies. Psalm 51:5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother, or from the time my mother conceived me. Right? We are living in a home that is filled with depravity. That's just the facts. But here's what, to me, in some ways, this is encouraging, all right? I hope this encourages you just for a moment. On those days when I do feel like, gosh, I just can't get this right, we need to be reminded that these little people that are living in our homes, they need Jesus so badly. And it's not an excuse for doing sinful things. But it absolutely should allow us to have some grace and some empathy for them, because we know what we were like before we had Jesus and began to be transformed, and even are still like sometimes. We just get better at hiding it as adults, I think, sometimes. Right? And so recognize that. You have children in your home that are sinners. And that is going to have to be dealt with if we're gonna have peace in our parenting. And then finally, we either don't know or we lose sight of our parenting purpose. So I think a lot of people go into parenting, and the truth is, they go into it with somewhat selfish motives. I wanna have a baby, I wanna have a child so badly because I believe that this little bundle of joy is going to bring me so much happiness. And children do. They bring an incredible amount of joy. They absolutely do. But at the end of the day, just like in a marriage, if you believe marriage is going to be the thing that ultimately fulfills you and brings you all of your happiness, you're dreaming. You're living in a dream world. And in the same way with children, if you think that those children are going to fulfill some level of happiness inside of you that only God can fulfill, you're going to be very, very disappointed. If the purpose of your children is for them to make you happy, and honestly, the opposite, for you to just make them happy, you're not gonna have a lot of peace. What we have to do is understand, what is the purpose? What is God's design for the family? Well, if we go back all the way to the very beginning to Genesis, we see what God says about the family. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and oversee it. Well, that's a paraphrase of Genesis 1. Right, go out into the world and spread the kingdom of God. That's what the family is for. It is to raise up future kingdom builders, future followers of Jesus that will transform and change the world and take the message of Jesus Christ out into the world. It's the training ground for teaching people how to honor and love and respect the Lord, how to honor and love and respect other people, right? That's why in the Ten Commandments, right, it talks about how children should honor their mother and father. Why? Because what they're learning about honoring their mother and father and putting them as an authority over their life is teaching them how to have other authorities over their life, for God to be an authority over their life, for other people in their lives as they go throughout their life to be an authority over their life. And so God has a very specific plan for the family and for you as parents. And it is brilliant. It really is. You create this home with, and I know that the situations aren't always ideal, right? Things happen, right? Satan drives wedges and causes people to do things, and kids are born sometimes into situations that it's not the perfect situation. But in an ideal situation, a loving wife and a loving husband come together and they raise those children to follow Jesus and to have this amazing thing that nothing in the world can take away from them. And I think as parents, we all want that. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, don't we want that? I know I do. More than anything, that's what I want. I want my children to know and love the Lord above everything else. And yet, this is the truth. Many of us do not parent in such a way that is actually happening in many kids' lives. We're too focused on other things. And it's very easy to do. I'll be the first one to say it's so easy for that to happen. Right? We get distracted by all the things, worldly things, education, sports, family activities, whatever it is. Right? It can be very easy to lose sight of the purpose that God intended for you as parents. Right? Your parenting purpose is essential. Understanding it is essential to having peace. It's not to raise perfect kids. So just go ahead and take that pressure off of yourself right now. They're not going to be perfect, right? It's not to raise pro athletes or kids that get into Harvard, but to love Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. And so what do we do about this? And this is where I want to spend the last portion of our time today. What do we do about this? Well, I want to unpack one verse this morning, just one. And I love this about God's word. I believe this is the only verse we will ever need as parents. If we will actually obey this, take this to heart, keep this at the forefront of our mind as we parent our children, this will be the only thing you ever need. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And it goes like this. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord." I want to read that again. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord." Now, just for some context here before we dive into this verse is found in a sequence where Paul is teaching the church at Ephesus about relationships and families. If you go to Ephesians 5, and I encourage you to do that sometime this week, go to Ephesians 5, read Ephesians 5 into the first part of Ephesians 6, and the track goes like this. He talks about just general relationships. We should be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he talks about husbands and wives, also submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, modeling the way that Christ laid down his life for the church, right? We're to lay down our lives for each other. He actually goes into children, talks about children and how children are to honor and respect their parents. And then finally, he talks to the parents themselves. And this is the one thing that he tells them. And I think he could have gone on and on and given a whole bunch of list of things, but honestly, I don't think he needed to. I think these two things that we find within this verse, and I'm going to give you the two here in a second. If we will do these two things, we will give our kids the greatest chance Number one, for relationship with Jesus. And then number two, for just general success in this life as healthy, productive citizens of the world. And if we'll do that, if we will really, truly take these two things to heart, we will have peace. It's the only way, I would argue, that we can actually have peace as parents. And so what are those two things? We are to, first of all, love them. And we are, second of all, to train them. We are to love them and we are to train them. I'm gonna say one more time. We are to love them and we are to train them. And so first, what does he say? What does Paul say? He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. I can't think of a more opposite thing that you could do to love in relation to love than to exasperate your children. Now, I'm gonna throw some Greek words at you here this morning, but I think they're important, again, for context and understanding this passage in the way that it was meant to be understood. So that word fathers in the Greek is this word pateras. It's where we get the word paternal. It's rooted in that, right? Fathers, pateras. But it also is used several times in the New Testament to just simply mean parents, right? And so it's not just, yes, it's. I do believe it's primarily talking to fathers here, because I think more often than not, fathers have this ability to exasperate their kids sometimes. Mothers do it too, but fathers really, I think he's keying in on this. But I also think because that word is used multiple places to say parents, this is talking about moms and dads. We both need to be aware of this, right? And so what does he say? He says, moms, dads, don't exasperate them. What does that word exasperate mean? It means to intentionally do something over and over again with them to the point where they just break. Like there's a bitterness that wells up inside of their heart. They get frustrated, they're angry. And I'm not talking about just regular discipline. We're gonna get to that in a second, right? The teaching them part is essential. I'm talking about overly exasperating, overly disciplining a child to the point where it's like, their spirit is getting crushed. That's what Paul is saying here. There was actually a term in Roman culture, patria potestas. This was a Roman rule that essentially said, if you were a father, you had complete and ultimate authority to do whatever you wanted to your children. You could treat them as slaves. You could put them to work. You could abuse them any way you wanted. They were like possessions. You could even, if you felt it was necessary, sacrifice one of your children to the gods to appease them if you were going through some tough situation. I mean, just imagine what that must have been like for a child living in that culture. There's a little part of me that wants to be like, boys, next time I send you to timeout, maybe think twice about whining and complaining about that, because we could be patria potestas in this culture, and I don't think anybody would be okay with that, right? Your little timeout is nothing. It's nothing. Christianity, I want us to see this. Christianity changed this. The love and the grace and the teachings of Jesus Christ changed that in our culture. Children are not possessions. Children are to be loved and cherished and built up and encouraged because they are the next generation of kingdom builders in this world. They are deeply, deeply valued and loved by their creator. Christianity did that and did that in many, many other areas of our culture. Shifted things, right? And so, what are some ways, I want to just go over some practical things. What are some practical things that we kind of do to really frustrate our children? Well, I think at the absolute worst, one of them is abuse, right? Mental, physical, emotional abuse. If we are abusing our kids, that is going to, it's going to, no matter how you slice it, right? It is going to cause them to just be so frustrated and bitter and damaging. Right now, most families, I would argue, particularly most Christian families, hopefully that's not happening. I think that is happening, unfortunately, in a lot of families in our world. But there's more subtle ones that I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of. How about just simply being overly discouraging? Not encouraging enough. This is one, as I was preparing this week, I felt convicted by this. I don't encourage my children enough, and I want to do that more. Don't just, it can't just be all discouragement all the time. It can't just be all discipline all the time, right? You will cause them to be crushed in their spirit. How about neglect? It's such a simple, easy way to harm our children. Right? I believe more damage has probably been done in our world by absent parents and specifically absent fathers who are too busy working and out with the boys doing their hobbies or whatever it is, and they're not engaged and they're not around, they're not paying attention, and they're neglecting. I think one of the biggest temptations that we have as parents these days is the little computer that we hold in our hands all the time that we make our phone calls with and get on the internet with. It's so easy to just get sucked into that, start paying attention to that, and you're not paying attention to anybody else in the world, including your kids. Right? We need to be careful of that. We need to be paying attention to that. Right? Not only neglect, but how about just pushing achievement to the point where it's like, I don't feel like I will ever be good enough. Well, you don't come home with straight A's every single time, you're getting the belt. Right? There's families where that's the case. Like the expectation is so unbelievably high. And I'm not saying, please hear me, parents. I'm not saying don't have high expectations for your children. Absolutely do. Have high expectations. We should expect them to do their best and to work hard, right? Instill those values in them. But there is a place, and we all know where it is. I think of Tiger Woods and his dad, Earl Woods, and how he just pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. It's not healthy, right? To push that level of achievement on them, right? Instead, what do we need to do? What does loving our children look like? It's being patient. It's comforting them. It's playing with them. It's encouraging them. It's forgiving them, right? It's all the things that we know what love is, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast, right? We can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and look at all the different things that make up a person who is loving another, right? That's how we need to be treating them. But there is a second thing here, right? It's not just love them. He also says we are to train them. And I would actually argue that training them is just as much a part of loving them as the encouragement and the comfort and the praise that we give and the forgiveness that we give. Why? Because when we have someone in our life who's doing things that are harmful to themselves or potentially harmful to themselves later on down the road, and we don't tell them about it, we don't try to correct them, discipline them, that's not loving. That's not loving at all. We have to teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be obedient to his ways, and that can only come through training. Now, here's another Greek word. It's the word paideia. Paideia. And what it actually means, this word train, is actually training through discipline. So it's not just any type of training, right? There are different types of training, but this is training that comes specifically through correction. When someone's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, there's a stepping in and a turning them and saying, no, that's not how we do this here. This isn't the way that God has called us to live. And so there needs to be some sort of discipline that comes out of that. And that is, this blows my mind. It is culturally abrasive in a lot of ways these days to discipline children. I look at what's going on in our public school system and I feel bad for a lot of teachers who really can't anymore discipline the way that I think some children need to be disciplined. The world has a very postmodern, relativistic viewpoint about things. What does that mean? It means that there's really no right or wrong. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. And so if that's the case, if your truth is your truth and my truth, then how can you even tell me that I'm doing anything wrong? That's the message that's being pumped into our culture and our society. No, there is right and wrong. I guarantee you, the most staunch postmodern relativist who says there's no such thing as truth, if you went and murdered one of their family members today, they would absolutely say that was wrong and there should be justice for that. There is right and wrong. And our children need to understand that. They need to hear that. They need to be disciplined to understand that, right? And it's hard, I get it. I really do understand how hard it is in the moment, because there are times when you just get exhausted as a parent, anybody else? Or you just get exhausted and you're tired of fighting the same battle over and over and over again. And every fiber of your being just wants to be like, fine, just take the iPad for the next 5 hours. I need a break, go. Right? But at the end of the day, let's come back to our parenting purpose. We gotta stay focused on that. We gotta cling to that. We gotta stand firm on that. And we gotta not become lazy parents, because that, to me, that's what that is. It's lazy parenting. And I'm the first one in line to say, I get it. It is hard. I get it. But I want you to cling to this verse, Hebrews 12:11. This is a powerful one for all of us, whether we're parents or not. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In other words, godly discipline done the right way out of love leads to righteousness in a person's life, them doing what's right by God. And when we live righteously, do you know what happens? We have peace. There's a peace that comes out of that, isn't there? When you're aligned with the will of God, you're being obedient to him. Doesn't mean everything, all your external circumstances are always gonna go exactly as you thought they would. But there's a peace in knowing I'm doing this God's way. I am in the will of my creator. That brings a tremendous, tremendous peace. Godly discipline and training, it produces a righteousness and a peace. And ultimately what it does is it produces a better life for them later. If they will actually follow that, take that discipline to heart, see it as a good thing, it produces a better life. And so when it comes to discipline, this is something I heard a while back, and I just loved this. And I think it's something we need to remember. When it comes to our children and it comes to disciplining them, we need to break their will without breaking their spirit. And it's two very different things, right? If you have ever experienced a strong-willed child who it's like you have just struck, you've tried over and over again to try to get them to do what you know is best for them, even though they don't see that, right? It can be really challenging. But it is essential. It is essential for all of us to become the people God created us to be, to break that will, to help them to recognize, no, there's wisdom in this, and I need to follow this. But we have to do it in a way that doesn't break their spirit. It doesn't crush them. It doesn't devalue them. It doesn't get them to the point where it's like, I'm throwing in the towel on this whole thing. I'm just gonna do whatever I want, because what's the point? I'll never be good enough. Right, there is a difference between breaking their will and breaking their spirit. Right, so there's this element of training involved in this, but it also says this. What does it say? Bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. It says instruct them in the Lord. So one more Greek word. This is the word nuthesia. Nuthesia. Here's what it means, very simply. It is a putting in the mind. Putting in the mind, to put something in the mind. This is what it means to instruct them. And how are we to instruct them? What are we to put in their mind? What does it say? It says, instruct them in the Lord. So we are to put in their minds the things of the Lord. put in their mind the things of God. This is the truth today. Whether we are paying attention to it or not, every single day, the world is trying to put things in your child's mind and in their heart. Lies from the enemy. Things that are contrary to the word of God. Every day, that's what's happening. We must be putting the things of God in our children's mind above all else so that they can think critically about the things they're being taught and bombarded with every day. We must. I cannot implore you enough. We must make the word of God the central core of all that we teach our children. Everything from every time we're disciplining them, it comes back to the word. Every time we're talking to them about love and caring for them, encouraging them, it comes back to the word of God. So that they know this is what's the truth and this is what's not. We gotta teach them the word. That's what this whole idea of instruct them in the Lord is all about. So I wanna say it again. What are the two things that we need to be doing for our children? Number one, we are gonna love them. We're gonna love them, we're gonna love them, we're gonna love them, we're never gonna give up on them, we're gonna continue to forgive, we're not gonna get bitterness in our heart against them, we're gonna encourage, but we're also gonna train. We're gonna train them. This is the training ground, it's the primary place where that training is supposed to be taking place. And so right now, I don't know where you're at. Some of us in this room have children. Some of us have grown children. Some of us maybe want to have children one day, and some of us are like, I'm not sure. Justin, you're making a pretty compelling case for me not to have them. But wherever you're at on that spectrum, this is what I know. Each of us has been called to love and to train up the next generation. We've been called to that. If you're part of the church and you are a follower of Jesus, you have a responsibility to do this and to do it well. And my passion, my heart is this. If you do have children, you have a family unit, would you make that just the absolute utmost highest priority of your earthly life outside of having an intimate relationship with Jesus? That's where it starts. But outside of that, your family, your children, how you're raising them, it could have an impact for generations. It's not just about right now. I come from a long line of people who did not know Christ, who were lost and broken and addicted. And all it takes is one generation to stop that. And then those children go on to lead healthy lives following the Lord. And they train up their children, and their children's children train up their children. And you get this amazing generational thing that happens. Would you make that the highest priority? If you don't have peace right now in your parenting, listen, I know it's hard and it's easy to focus on the struggle. And when they're defiant and they're not listening and they have an attitude and you're exhausted, it's just, and the easiest thing to do is just to be like, I just want this to end. I just want to fix them. And I don't know, maybe you guys don't feel this. I feel this a lot. I'm a fixer. Somebody comes, I have a problem, I'm stressed out. Okay, how can I fix it? Well, not everything can be fixed like that. In fact, many things can't be fixed like that. And if our whole mindset, our whole motivation is just, I gotta fix my kids, I gotta get them to do what I want them to do, whether it's out of fear of how they're gonna turn out or whatever it is, we will not have peace. There's only one path to peace when it comes to your parenting. It is to stay focused on the purpose that God has called you to in your parenting. And again, what is that? I'll say it again. Love them and train them. Love them and train them. And so I want to give you two things that you can do really practically here, and then we're going to be done. Two very practical things to just start doing this in your home. Number one, follow Jesus yourself. You want your kids to follow Jesus? You have to follow Jesus first. You have to model that for them. Do they ever see you doing devotions in your home? Do they see you praying? Is that an important part of your daily rhythm? Do they see you, if you're married, praying with each other? Do they ever see that? Start to model what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus in your home. How do you treat them? Do you treat them like Jesus? And this is where sometimes I feel like I just fail so badly because I'm not Jesus, right? But that's the goal. I'm striving to be like him. I want to be more like him. I want to be more loving and compassionate and forgiving, but I also want to speak the truth and I want to teach and I want to train, right? Are we doing that ourselves, first and foremost? They are watching. So much of training our children is not what we say, but what we do. Do our words line up with our actions? And I know at the end of the day, all of us in one way, shape, or form, we're hypocrites. We say one thing and then we do the other. But it, as much as possible, we need to model this for them. And then secondly, we need to saturate them in gospel-centered community. There's a reason that God gave us the church. Yes, the family is the primary point of teaching and training for children. But he gave us the church as a support system to have other people in their lives to model for them. I am so grateful for our student ministry here that is working with my children. I'm so grateful for the kids ministry here that is working with my children and showing them, not just, this is not just my voice. It's not just dad constantly harping on this. No, this is the way we live as the body of Christ, right? There are many, many children, and this saddens me. Parents aren't committed to being in the church. They're not committed to bringing their kids to kids' church or bringing them to youth group. Why? Because they've got too many other things going on, right? We've all heard the excuses. Well, we got sports and we got these activities, or we're just really tired at the end of the week, or whatever the excuse might be to not be here, right? And it blows my mind. I hear this all the time, I feel like. People saying, like, you know, we're too busy, right? I don't want to push my kids to follow Jesus. I don't want to force them to do that. I'm gonna just call it how I see it. We force them to eat the food that we put on the table. We force them to go to school every day. I mean, we force them to do a lot of things. To me, there's nothing more important than their relationship with Jesus and knowing Jesus. Does that mean we browbeat them? Does that mean we do it in a way that, you know, pushes them away from Jesus? No, of course not. But every day of the week, guys, we're gonna have devotions in our home. We're gonna pray together. On Sundays, we go to church together. That's where we go to be with the body of Christ and to be taught and to learn what it looks like to be part of a Christian community. There are so many kids walking away from their faith when they leave the home. And I truly believe this is one of the biggest reasons, is they have not had it modeled for them what it looks like to be part of a church. What do we expect? Of course they're gonna walk away. It's not important. It wasn't important to my parents, so why should it be important to me? It was not modeled for me. And the challenge I would give to any parents out there who are making excuses, and I'm just gonna call it what it is. Well, we got sports. You know what? 0.05% of our children are gonna become professional athletes or professional musicians or whatever, you know, tiny minuscule opportunity. I'm not saying sports are bad. I love sports. I'm a coach. Get your kids involved in sports. Absolutely. Have them play an instrument. I'm also a musician. Have them play an instrument. Those are really good things. But pushing them, making that the highest priority to the point where it's like you don't come to church on Sunday mornings because you got sports or whatever else. They can't go to youth group. They can't be involved. 0.05% are going to become professional athletes. Hear me on this, church. 100% of them are going to stand before Jesus one day. 100%. What is the most important thing? It is for them to know Jesus. And that's why we love them and we show them the amazing grace that Jesus poured out on us. And that's why we train them over and over and over again. Guys, there is nothing I want more. Nothing I want more for my children than for them to know Christ as their Savior. I don't care if they become a pro athlete. I don't care if they get into Harvard. I don't care if they make a lot of money someday. I care that they know Christ and that one day, when this life is over, and it will be over one day, and it will come so much faster than we realize, they will know Jesus and they will be in eternity in heaven with him. Every kid is going to have to make their own choice, but we need to give them the best opportunity we can for them to make that decision. And so I want to close with this today. If you are a parent in this room and you feel like you have messed up, and you don't get it right all the time, God's grace is huge. I encourage you to lean into it like I have to many days. And if you're a parent who feels like, man, I messed up and I can't fix this, I can't go back, know this. It's never too late. It's not too late. Even if your kids are grown and out of the house, you can continue to be a model of Jesus Christ for them. You can continue to point them to him. You can continue to love and to train. A parent's job is never done. Never. And so I encourage you, forgive yourself and don't quit. Keep fighting.